Hello everyone, my name's Anouk.
And my name is Laura.
And we're the co-hosts of the International Student Voices podcast, the ultimate guide for studying and living in the UK.
London is known for its social life and diversity, as well as being home to some of the UK's most prestigious universities, making it one of the best known destinations to study in the UK. Having studied at UAL and Anouk at Imperial, we had the opportunity to explore what studying in London looks like, and we're uncovering it today as part of our series to uncover what it's like to study and live in cities all around the UK. So far, we've covered Bristol, Leeds, and Cambridge, so check those out if you haven't already. But for now, let's dive into what studying in London looks like.
Yeah, exactly. So like Laura said, London has so many prestigious universities and so many options, whether you're interested in arts, for example, and want to study at somewhere like UAL, or you're interested in politics and want to go to LSE, or you're interested in sciences, you want to go to Imperial. There's literally so many options out there, which is great. I think there's a university for everyone in that city. There's so much diversity in terms of studying. It's really, really great.
Yeah, definitely. And the way universities are structured, like the way they operate, is slightly different. University function as colleges. So you have the main entity, so your university that you're studying at, and then according to the different department you're in, for example, let's say sciences, fashion, business, whatever, you're going to have a specific college that you're going to study in. So they're going to be spread across like London, like around London, which is pretty cool because you have this opportunity to kind of visit the different colleges, visit the different libraries as part of your university. So it's quite cool. For example, like mine, I was studying at University of the Arts London, and I was specifically studying at London College of Communication because I was studying public relations, and it was based in East London, but I had this possibility to kind of study at a different library. So like Oxford Street, they had one, like, yeah, very, very different areas across London. And I think that makes it very, very cool and very different to the way it was working in Leeds, I'd say.
Yeah, I completely agree. For Imperial, I had a very similar experience. So basically, my main campus was in South Kensington, but then there was also a White City campus, which is like a few stops on the tube further away. So, and it also depended on basically what you were studying. So the business school was mainly based in South Kensington, but I know for sciences, there was a campus where you could go for different ones. If you did maybe more medicine, you'd be on the White City campus. So it's nice because, as Laura said, there's a lot of areas that you can discover in terms of being in London, which is nice. There's definitely sometimes longer commutes as well. So maybe one day you'll be on one campus, the other day on the other. Usually I think they try to make it on one campus, but that's definitely something to take into account. And that can be quite different compared to, as Laura said, a smaller city like Leeds.
That's interesting because for me, we had the London College of Communication was the only campus I was commuting to, I didn't have to go to the other colleges. It was literally on, like, because I wanted to access other libraries, but like that's it really. Like, you don't really need, at least as part of UAL, it must like work differently. So that's interesting.
Yeah, I think it depends on the degrees as well. Personally, I didn't have to do that, but I know that the management people, for example, did. So it depends, but obviously you don't get to pick and choose, but it is something to take into account.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's interesting. And so obviously that comes alongside, you know, accessing different universities, campuses and everything. You also have access to the best resources. I don't know about like if it's the best or not, but I think you have so many different resources that you can access, whether it is like resources as part of your university. I feel that, for example, even though I was studying at University of the Arts London, I knew that like LSE, for example, had so many conferences, events organized by university that you could access. It was like public events. Even though you weren't part of the university, you could still access attend those events. So that was like really, really nice. But you also have like public resources. And I think that makes it even more interesting. Obviously, it's London. You have so many different things that you can do, and including museums, research collections, and you even have such beautiful study places that you can like go to, or libraries. And I think like the two that comes into mind are British Library and Senate House, which are so pretty and very impressive study spaces as well. You feel way smarter than you are because those places are, yeah, very nice to study. I think it comes alongside, you know, having a degree in London. I think it's quite exciting.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it's very motivating when you're surrounded with people that are very studious and studying. And so when you're, I know when I'm in the library, I'm really productive. And so having access to things like the British Library is really great, because obviously it's a massive space where there's a lot of tables and everyone's studying and everyone's really serious. So it's definitely very motivating. And then there's also an abundance of like cute cafes to work in, especially like in Notting Hill area. I know they've got really cute cafes there. So if you want to just sit there, obviously that comes with every city, but there's definitely a lot of choice in London at least. So I know that I had a friend who loved working in cafes. So that's a nice thing that you can do. And then London is also so, so big. So you will literally never get bored. There's always something to explore, whether it's like a new area, a new restaurant, a new like bar. There's so many things that constantly open, and there's so many different areas. And I don't know about you, Laura, but I feel like they're so unique. Like there's so, like, I don't know, every area has their own thing, has their own like style, has their own restaurants, and it's really, really cool to discover them.
Yeah, I completely agree. I feel like the spirit of every neighborhood in London is so different. Like the way people dress, the way what shops look like. You have some very, very edgy neighborhood in London that are very like vintage, very arty, but you have some that are like more posh. So that's what we would say for very like, I don't know, like sophisticated areas of London.
Yeah, like Chelsea.
Yeah, literally. Or you have like very relaxed areas. Like, I don't know, you literally, I think it's very hard not to find your like somewhere where you belong in London, because you have so many different areas. And yeah, it's such a big city.
Yeah, I think with that as well comes so much diversity. And this diversity is so, so great, because I don't know, I feel like it helps you be less homesick as well. So something that was really important to me, for example, I'm French, and it is a stereotype, but I love my bread and I love my pastries. So yeah, I think being in Leeds and not having access to good bread was a bit challenging for me. It might seem stupid, but it's one of those things, like it makes you feel less homesick if you have food from home. And in London, there is just so much choice. There are so many good bakeries. We'll definitely write some, I'll write some of the like my favorite bakeries that I think are really authentic, some bigger chains that are really good. We'll write them all down and we'll have them up on our website, isvpodcast.com. So check that out at the end of the episode. But yeah, I think having so much diversity and food from home, there's literally, there'll be food from wherever you are in London, and it's great. Whether it's a restaurant or a small boutique, there'll be something.
I completely agree. I feel like wherever you come from, you're coming from, you have a place in London. Like you can find the type of food that you normally eat. You can find, yeah, I feel it's very hard not to find what you like. And that, I agree so much for the breads. I suffered from it, but I didn't realize it up until I moved to London. And now it's, I feel like in Cambridge, no, actually in Cambridge you do have some bakeries that are really, really nice, but I will take the, you to those bakeries when you come. But obviously when you talk about size, you talk about transport. So I think one of the biggest red flag for me for London is the fact that you constantly need to commute. I think it's something that is seems very exciting at first, and then I mean, like, yeah, after 6 months, you so...
Does it seem exciting? I feel like it was never exciting for me.
I mean, when you... Okay, so my point is, when you move from Leeds, for example, I love Leeds because it was a human-sized city. But then, you know, you quickly, you know, visit everything, you know? And when you move to London at first, you're like, oh my God, so many things to discover. And then it's just like, it's so tiring. After a long day, you need to take the tube. I mean, I'm not discouraging you not to go to London, you know what I mean? But it's something that you need to like be aware of, is the commute. But as well, you have so many different apps that can help you like find your way. Don't be scared at all. If it's like, I have a terrible sense of direction and I rely on those apps. If like at some point I don't have any connection, I'm dead. So, and it's very, very easy as well. Very self-explanatory in terms of the tube. Like the lines are very, very self-explanatory, like how to find your way and stuff. But if you need to, you have like Google Maps, obviously, and City Mapper. City Mapper is such a good app to find your way. So it's basically, it tells you, what are you taking, the tube, where are you taking the bus, where you just need to, yeah, actually, yeah, just tube and bus. It tells you in real time if they're late, where exactly you should go, what's the like quickest way to go somewhere, you know what I mean? So I would definitely recommend, especially if you're just moving to London, to use those apps.
Yeah, I agree. A few other apps as well that I want to mention is there's a TFL app. So basically the Underground and the Tube is run by TFL, and they have this app that makes you able to check what tube lines are running and what tube lines are not. So it's something that I tend to check, for example, before I take the tube. I think it's really great if, you know, you're going somewhere and there's two tube options, you look on there, imagine one of the tube is down for, like, I don't know, whatever reason, then you know you'll have to take the other one, and it helps you kind of plan in advance. So even on the way walking to the tube, you can make those decisions. So I think that one's really good. And then, yeah, I think that was the main app that I wanted to say. But then in terms of like other things to look out for, so London's really great because you can use your phone basically or your card to travel everywhere, which makes it super accessible and really easy. You can use pay as you go, which is basically you'll be paying on your phone through Apple Pay or with your card, and whenever you reach the maximum, so if you're traveling in zone 1 and 2, I think the maximum is like £8 or something, it'll stop at £8 and everything else will be free, because that's like the day travel cost, which is really great. So we'll calculate that automatically and the money will come out the next day, because obviously they'll see, okay, in this 24 hours how much did you spend on tubes, and if it was more than £8, it'll just be £8. If it was less, then it'll be whatever it is. So I think that's something to know, and it's quite reassuring. So you're like, okay, I can travel as much as I want and it won't be more than £8 if it's in zone 1 and 2. And honestly, everything you need to access mostly is in zone 1 and 2. Then what me and Laura did as well is that we had student Oyster cards, which are really great because they are so discounted. So we got a travel card on the rail card, which is basically you pay like a monthly fixed subscription or like a yearly fixed subscription to travel in zone 1 and 2. And I think there was literally like a £50 difference between a normal travel card and like a student travel card. So definitely look into that if you're a student. And if you're not, you can also, which is what I'm doing right now, connect your rail card to your Oyster Pass. And that's really, really great because you get 30% off all of your travel when it's off peak. So off peak is, I think, after 9:30 and between 9:30 and 4, and I think after 7:30 p.m. during the week, something like that. But it's, they're things to know, and they're ways to make your cost less, like your travel costs less, which is important, especially when it comes to budgeting in London.
Exactly. And we'll dive into the topic in a second, because I think how can we not talk about budgeting in London? It's such an expensive city. But obviously, like we talked about the tube, but you have other ways to, like, in which you can, like, you know, you can take the bus, you can cycle. My brother does that because he lives, I think it takes him about 30 minutes cycle, 20 minutes, something. But obviously, like, as we said, distances are quite big in London. So this is not the case for everyone. And especially because it's raining all the time in the UK, so you might not want to cycle every day. So as a last tip, make sure that where you live is well connected. I think, like, and I, by that I mean the tube, like, trains are okay, but like, trust me, strikes are going on all the time in the UK. And my brother lives in like somewhere where basically he needs to like take a train, then the tube. And on Sunday, first of all, trains are not all the time. Like they're not, I think they're, yeah, it's something ridiculous, honestly. And the rest of the time is completely fine. You generally have them very often, but then you have strikes and stuff, so it's not as reliable as a tube. So I would strongly recommend having like somewhere well connected in terms of like having a tube. Also because at night, tube are still generally running during the weekend. So it depends upon like the actual line that you're taking, but some of them are like running at night. You need to check that, but like generally weekend is up until very late, or it's the whole night. So I don't really know, but yeah. So it's quite important to take that into consideration. And then obviously, if you're talking about London, we're talking about budgeting, because London is such an expensive city to live in. And you probably, if you are, you have a limited budget, you probably still like need to think about, you know, how you're going to manage your expenses. And to kind of give you a glimpse, or just like what are generally the things that cost a lot in London, first of all, is the accommodation. I feel that there is a massive difference between living in London and living anywhere in the UK.
Literally anywhere else.
Yeah. And by that, we mean it. Because like Cambridge is like one of, apparently, yeah, it's quite expensive to live in the UK, but trust me, for me, it's so cheap to live in Cambridge because, like, in comparison to London, for example, in Leeds, I was paying £500 a shared, like, it was a four people flats, and I was living in a very, very spacious room. We were paying around like £500. In London, for less amount of space, I was paying 800 something. And that's a reasonable price now because it keeps increasing. But you'll see as well where your university is going to be based. So obviously you need to take everything into consideration. But yeah, accommodation is such a big thing and is definitely more expensive than any other cities in the UK.
Yeah, and also just to add to that, which obviously makes sense, the closer you live to the centre, the more expensive, the further you live away, the less expensive. But then you got to take into account the commuting cost. Obviously, you'll have to commute no matter where you live. If you live close or far away, it will cost more if it's further away, but you'll still be having to commute. I think it's completely normal. I think you should be expecting to commute, you know, like 20 minutes or more in London. It's just part of, you know, the experience. It's part of living in London. And it's definitely a cost. We've kind of given you like some tips. So for example, having the student Oyster pass makes it cheaper, but it's definitely another massive cost to add on top of that. And it's something that, for example, in Leeds, we didn't have because we would walk a lot, or we'd get maybe a bus pass, but it's so much cheaper than the tube.
Just to like a thing, like basically we were so innocent when we first looked at like where to live in London when we were still based in Leeds. We had no clue about like where to live, how it was working and everything. We literally looked at areas in Covent Garden or like Kensington. I remember we were like, okay, so because my university was based in East South London and Anouk was quite center, like West London, and we're like, okay, what's like the distance in the middle of like, you know, yeah, halfway through our like respective universities. And it was literally the center, like, trust me,
it was like Buckingham Palace. It was, yeah, like, no, okay, let's live near Buckingham Palace. That is very realistic. Like, but I swear, we drew like a line between both our unis, and yeah, the middle was not even some random house. It was like Buckingham Palace, and we were like, huh, maybe we shouldn't do that.
Yeah, no, no budget for that. Yeah, definitely. If you do have the budget, good for you. But we did not. So yeah, I think that was like very innocent type of like way to approach London.
It's so funny, I completely forgot about that. But obviously, the more research you do, if you know people in London as well, they can give you tips. We're more than happy if you know you're looking into a London university to answer some questions on our social media. We've got Instagram, our handle is ISV Podcast, so feel free to message us there if you have any questions after this episode that we haven't answered.
Yeah.
In terms of the budgeting, another thing to take into account, obviously, is going out and activities. That's something that you will spend, obviously, no matter where you are in the UK. But as we said, London is a very expensive city. So you need to, yeah, budget how much more that would cost. For example, in Leeds, my budget was a lot smaller than it is in London in terms of like going out and activities, because things are like almost double the price. Yeah, we went from having like £6 cocktails to £12 cocktails, which is really sad.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, activities are so expensive. I feel like realistically, restaurants in London, you can expect a minimum of £20, excluding the drinks.
It depends, I think, where you go. There's some good deals places. And also, we don't want to scare you because obviously London has so many more choices and like so many more options than like any other places, which makes it a really great place to be. It is going to be more expensive, but yeah, there's a lot more options as well, which is nice. And I'm pretty sure like you can still find some cheaper options. We found some cheaper options, and we'll also give some like names, as we said, like on our website, so you can check them out there. So don't be scared of all the high prices.
Yeah, I feel we're literally like living in London costs you £1,000. No. I mean, yeah, it probably does, but like no. So also one thing I think we mentioned in the previous episodes, you have student discounts going on. And also, for example, my university was doing this. It was such a big thing. Like, basically, I had access to so many like restaurant discounts, bar. I never actually used it. I'm so clumsy, like, but it was actually a big thing. It was like 50% off or something like that. It was just crazy.
Yeah, and also I want to say on campus there's cheaper options usually. So your union, for example, our union I think had £4.50 pints. You wouldn't have that normally in the UK, you wouldn't normally have that in London. And also there were a few like restaurants and stuff like that, or like, you know, cafeterias, and they had cheaper food. So obviously if you're spending like all day on campus, you can eat there, or also like pack your own food. So there are some cheaper options on campus, and universities do kind of provide slightly cheaper options, which is nice.
Yeah. And the last category would probably be groceries. I feel like the only thing about groceries, but that's like a general tip in general. So it's generally try to go to big stores. Also because you'd be tempted to do bigger food shopping, which is better because you like, okay, I'm going to do my food shopping for the week. So you would be less tempted to like buy like small items here and there, and then at the end of the week you don't realize it, but you're gonna spend so much money. And also supermarkets, like some are more expensive than others. Waitress have the reputation to be like more posh, more like expensive, high-end, while like Lidl and Tesco, okay, Tesco is in the middle to be honest, like but Lidl tends to be less expensive, but also you have some deals going on here and there. You have like Tesco club card or something like that you can get to have like cheaper like products and stuff, so you have so many options. It's just as well, if where you live is like very close to like a Waitrose, a Lidl or a Tesco, you need to check this out.
And then moving on from budgeting, we have kind of touched upon obviously the fact that accommodation is a massive part of the budget, and it's also a massive part of your life because you're gonna have to live somewhere, obviously in London, and living in the UK in general and in London specifically is extremely hard at the moment. There's like a housing crisis, so there's not that many houses available, especially at affordable prices for students. I know that obviously there's student accommodations that are always provided by universities, but they're might be more expensive than finding your own solution. In first year, I think student accommodations are great and they're a really good and easy option, especially if you're an international student. We have a whole episode dedicated on student accommodation, so like please check that one out. And in terms of finding a house as well, there's so many paperwork, so many like different websites, so many things to take into account. And we also have an episode on house hunting, I think it's episode 22, so please check that out. But yeah, we just wanted to mention it quickly because it's a massive part of living in London, especially when you arrive to London, like you need to find obviously a place to live in. So yeah, we just wanted to mention that because it's a big part of London and it's quite a challenging one. So we want to help obviously you guys as much as possible by giving you tips, because we've managed to find places through trial and error.
Yeah, I completely agree. Other things and very positive things about London is the amazing professional opportunities, academic opportunities as well, that you have in London. Like, I think that London, like my bachelor's degree, I was very much this like very innocent student that was learning, you know, how to, yeah, I don't know, first of all, how universities were working and stuff. But I feel like stepping into like London and the professional world, like I feel London is such a big opportunity for you to grow as an individual, as a professional, because of all the opportunities that are going on, like networking events, conferences, workshops. They generally happen in London. Of course you have exceptions, like sometimes they try to like be more open and inclusive, sometimes happening in Manchester and stuff, but like in general it does happen in London. And like I've been in a couple of like networking events related to my course, and that was absolutely amazing because I could just talk to like other professionals working in like public relations industry, working in very different sectors, and just learning about, you know, the different sectors they're working in, and making contacts as well. I remember I was interested about a particular like healthcare agency, and I remember I talked to this girl and connected with her on LinkedIn. It's really, really important for you to just connect on LinkedIn, and she just like gave me so much like valuable advice. And then conferences, I feel those are like really, really important, as well as I said, like universities are organizing conferences, but you also have conferences related to like the industry you're working in.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was the same experience for me at Imperial. I think they really wanted us to be very career driven, and London is the best place to do that. And so while they were having a lot of career events themselves, which was really great, they were also promoting a lot of career events that were happening outside of Imperial, because there's so many in London, that they would send them all to us and encourage us to go to those ones, because yeah, there's just so many opportunities. So I think that's a great thing, especially when you're arriving towards the end of your career. So if you're in third year during a bachelor's student, or you're doing your master's, it's a great place to be, because yeah, there's so many opportunities there, which is yeah, really amazing. And I think you should make the most of that, and it's yeah, I think what makes London really, really great.
Definitely. Another thing about London is that, you know, we mentioned that it's very expensive to live in London, but another thing that's quite good is the part-time job opportunities. I feel it's very, very easy to find a job or a part-time opportunity in London, obviously, because you have so much people that are hiring. And it's good because the city is so expensive, you can just like earn some money on the side. I think for international students, you do have a limit of like 20 hours per week. So that's something you need to take into consideration, but that's something good to know. But you have so many job opportunities, but you also have a very competitive job market. So of course, that depends upon the industry you're in, the brand you're targeting, the company you're targeting. Obviously, you have a lot of job offers going on in London, but you also have a lot of competition and good profiles competing against your profile. And I think that's just something to be aware of. I think that's the same across the UK, you know what I mean? But I feel, yeah, because it's like a big city, all the talents are concentrated sometimes in the big city, or like people studying in different places across the UK but still applying in London. So you still have this to take into consideration. It shouldn't be a factor that's like, you know, discouraging you at all, because you will find a job if you want to find a job, of course. But it's just, yeah, something to be aware of.
Yeah, in terms of the part-time jobs, I agree. I think it's very common for students to take on part-time jobs. In my master's degree, so many people were doing that. And whether it's like a part-time internship where you're paid and it's linked to what you're studying, that's really great. Or even just working as a bartender or doing tutoring, like it can literally be anything. There's also a lot of apps out there that allow you to do kind of random shifts. So there's a lot of, yeah, part-time opportunities if you want to gain money or gain experience, especially in London. I think everything that we say kind of applies to a lot of cities, but there's even more opportunities and even more diversity in London, which makes it really, really great. Yeah, just such a great city to live and study in. I think that's like the summary we're getting to, is like kind of that.
Yeah, I agree. I think, yeah, London is everything amplified by like 100. Like, it's just, yeah. In terms of size, in terms of diversity, everything. But also in terms of like options, in terms of like where to go out and activities to do. So we thought it would be great to just provide you guys with a list that we will upload on our website of like all the parks, bar, rooftops or night places we've have tried so far. But please, please, please do not hesitate to send us your best suggestions or your favorite spot or favorite like activities that you did in London. It would be so great as well to learn about like, you know, other stuff to do, because obviously it's easy to find like fall into a routine. Like, but yeah, so don't hesitate to like send us your suggestions on our social media or by email, and yeah, we'll add them on our website.
Yeah, exactly what you said. I completely agree. And you can, yeah, so our website is isvpodcast.com, and you can message us on Instagram. Our handle is isvpodcast, so pretty similar. And you can check out our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, and our website. So yeah, and we'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
Bye.